Hey, welcome to the Double Dropkick Show. I'm Heath Mulliken.
I'm Mark Whitman, and I have achieved the goals that many men lay in bed and dream about night after night. I have wined and dined with kings and queens, and I've slept in alleys and dined on pork and beans.
I don't think you have.
I have. You know, I've never wined and dined with a king or a queen. I did dine with a queen one time. But that's a different story for a different show. That's for a Double Dropkick Show after dark.
Oh, man. This is the wrestling podcast where we talk about the wrestling you grew up with. And a lot of great things have happened. We're still kind of on our high from the NWA Legends Fan Fest.
My wife said to me the other day, I'm so glad you did that, because you have been smiling for 2 weeks.
Nice.
She said, you have told me a different story every day about, so wrestling, it'll spice up your marriage.
I tried to, my wife does not like wrestling.
Right.
Okay. Doesn't watch it. And so I kind of went in and was going to say, hey, yeah, Ole Anderson cut a promo on Mark. And that would have just gone way over her head. And I said, yeah, it was fun.
We had to. Now, I told my wife that, and she cried.
Oh, man. Because she knew
what it meant to me.
Wow.
And how happy that it meant. When I was telling her about the Jim Cornette stuff, and so many interactions, man.
Oh,
just,
yeah.
Tully Blanchard, getting to interact with Magnum TA, interacting with J.J. Dillon, Arn Anderson, Dusty Rhodes. She welled up, and she said, I can tell.
Wow.
That this has probably been one of the best weekends of your life.
Yeah. Yeah, it absolutely was.
It has.
Now, let me just say this. Mark and I are getting ready. I think this month is your 15th anniversary.
No, that was...
That was a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
Mine's coming up. And so, just for the record, for all eternity, shall we say, Legends Fan Fest, our second favorite weekend.
Next to our wedding
weekend.
As I like to put it when I explained it to my wife, one of my top five. And that way, you can figure out which one's the top five are. But it's good, one of my top five.
That's a good move.
Got the shirt on right now.
I know, because we're going to wrestling tonight. I'm pretty pumped about
that. She stole my shirt because it's got Ricky Steamboat on it. She's a Ricky Steamboat, Mark.
She is.
Loves him.
She's the Ricky Steamboat girl.
And she's like, I want that shirt.
Has she listened to our Overrated show? Because she may put you on the couch.
I'll tell you what. When we first met, I was still wrestling. And she went to some shows.
Yeah.
She understands. She stood in line to get me tickets to Raw.
Right.
One time to another show that was coming to Furman at Furman in Greenville.
Yeah.
Without me, she stood in line
to get
me tickets. She accepts
the
wrestling as part of my life.
Yeah.
But she, you know, she's not into it like we're into it.
Right.
But she can pick a main eventer, brother.
Yeah.
I've told you.
Yeah.
She come through the house the other night, doesn't watch it, stopped and said, who's that guy?
Yeah.
Because I like him.
Yeah.
And it was Roman Reigns.
What,
she can pick them.
What is it about our wives? Because my wife likes The Rock and the other guy. That's what she calls Roman Reigns.
Yeah.
That other guy. And
something
about those Samoans, I guess.
I guess so. They're exotic. I tell you, but it is a little disheartening when you're a fat, white, pasty, you know, fishy white guy.
Yeah.
And they say, hey, I like the way The Rock looks.
Oh, my. I had a story that came to mind about the Fan Fest, but it left me. That was just such a great
oh,
weekend.
Yeah.
All the interactions were really fun. And I think, now I remember. When you're standing in line, and I don't know if anybody else does this, and I don't even know if you did this, and I don't think we talked about this before, but when I'm in line, I've got 30 seconds with a guy, 30 to 45 seconds. I'm either trying to think of a good question for my own benefit, something I really want to know, or I'm trying to make that guy laugh.
Yeah.
I am trying to get a chuckle out of, like when I asked Dusty Rhodes, Dusty, I got to know who the Midnight Rider is. He says, I don't know, baby, but you know, it was great. And he chuckled and he kind of looked away and it was just like.
Yeah, you got to laugh out of Dusty Rhodes.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, yeah.
From here on out,
Nobody can. Flip side to that.
Yes.
Was when I met Ricky Steamboat and I had two Pro Wrestling Illustrators, one with he and Randy Savage, one with he and Ric Flair. I set them down and I said, you know, those matches, a lot of people think they were great. Thinking they were kind of just all right. I don't remember exactly what I said to him.
But you were obviously being sarcastic. But I was trying
to be sarcastic, and he didn't even. It just went right over his head, and he went, yeah, we did all right.
Yeah.
No, man. Look, understand what I'm saying here. Let me back up.
You even said that. It's like, I don't think that came out right, Mr. Yeah. Steamboat.
Yeah.
So, all right, let's get to today's show, which I don't know what the topic is. I'm coming in. People have asked questions.
Right.
People have been, our fans, all four of them.
I don't like
them,
to call them fans.
People.
I like
friends.
To call them friends and family.
Friends and family.
Because one of the tens and tens of Double Dropkick Show listeners out there.
The people besides our family that are downloading the show. And they've asked questions on Facebook and Twitter. And that's what we're going
to
talk about.
Right. And a lot of them come to me because you have your own Twitter. Right. I have the Double Dropkick Show.
Right.
Is my Twitter handle.
Yeah.
So let me say, first of all, if you send us a question or a comment, thank you.
Yes.
I want to drop the facade of the cocky heel persona that I try to put across on the show. It humbles me that there are people out there that care enough not only to listen to the show, but to send us a message or a question or a comment. And I try to answer all of them, and I don't always do it. If I don't answer your question, still understand that I read it.
Right. What's cool is the conversations that were not even taking place 7 months ago.
Right.
Before we started the show. I think back to, it was either this week or the week before, Justin Donahue, who listens to the show, who tweets us.
Fixing to give him a shout out.
He has his wisdom teeth out and just mentions us on Twitter saying, hey, watching the WWE, what better way to enjoy surgery than watching the WWE Network? Yeah. And you know what? I don't want to toot our own horn, but we probably put him over the hump to buy the network.
Could be. Still
waiting for that check.
I am a stockholder,
and I'm excited to see what happens now that we're in 170 countries.
That's right.
You own
like, WWE.
Please go buy the network, buy SummerSlam, buy all our merchandise because So
all right, he needs that 3 cent royalty check.
Hey, I got 12 cents the last time.
A couple of guys, and I just plucked out some questions here.
Right.
And I'm just going to throw a couple of names out there.
Okay.
And if I miss somebody, please don't be offended. I appreciate everything.
Kerry
Trainum, Scott Hicks, Justin Donahoe, Michael Hofer, Kyle Culver.
Gotcha.
We're kind of the guys who ask these questions.
Yeah. And they're pretty consistent.
They communicate with us a lot. Hofer
went with us
to FanFest. He and I didn't know each other 7 months ago.
Yeah.
Before we started the show.
Yeah.
And then we kind of became friends on Facebook talking. And then we hooked up in Charlotte. He's a friend of yours. We had you in common. Hooked up in Charlotte and spent all day together Saturday. He took me down to Walgreens to get some contraband. some tobacco. Yeah. And I was fiending. And I was like, man, I don't know what I'm going to do. I walked like a mile in every direction and couldn't find anything. And he was like, man, come on. I'll take you to the store, man. You're missing the convention here. I was fiending. So anyway, you want to say something? I thought you were going to.
It was fun. The plan is, as we're recording this on August the 16th, that you're listening to this show on August the 18th. And this week, there's other episodes coming out.
Some interviews we got with some guys. When we say interviews, don't misunderstand that we sit down for an hour with these guys.
No.
It was in passing, hey, would you mind if we ask you a question or two?
In our interviews, we follow the rules of an episode that's coming out, how to act at a wrestling convention.
Right. I got a minute to talk to you, would it be all right if I interviewed you for that minute?
Yeah.
Was kind of what, you know.
Yeah.
That was kind of what we did. And I don't think anybody told us no.
No.
Even, there were a couple of guys that said yes, but they were, like, Jim Cornette.
Right.
Was like, yes, I'll do an interview with you. But you have to understand, he was there as a vendor selling stuff, and part of the buying something from Cornette was the interaction with Cornette, so he had to be at his table.
And if I haven't said this, I think I said this on one of our other episodes, but it bears repeating, that we would have gotten a minute or two with Cornette on record.
Yes.
If not for American flag shirt guy.
Yeah. Yes, I agree. He was there and he was ready, and we'll talk about it. He stepped up and took our time.
I am there. I'm making my purchase. I have already asked for the. There's nobody there at the table.
Right. We did exactly what Cornette told us to do, yes, which was come back when there's nobody at the table.
Yeah.
And I'll talk to you for 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And we did that.
And American flag shirt guy comes up while I'm buying something. And starts a conversation.
And even Cornette put him on hold and said, wait a minute, I'm talking to these guys. Jim Cornette's a class act.
Let me tell you, yes he is. But if ever there was a person that deserved a racket shot, it was that guy.
Well, you know, I don't know
if fireball.
I don't know if I mentioned this. Cornette hit me with the racket.
Was I there with
it? I think you might have seen it out of the corner of your eye.
If it's not on video, it didn't happen. And that would be my fault.
But yeah, that's right. After all my big talk about putting that dang cell phone down, Heath actually put the cell phone down and didn't get video of Cornette.
So let's get to these questions. And I know one of them just by accident.
Okay, yeah, because you brought something up.
Yeah.
At the time of the recording, a few days ago, Robin Williams passed away.
Yeah.
And I posted on my personal Facebook, and it's the truth, and it's just how I felt. I'm not a let's post about every celebrity who dies, but sometimes they do have an impact on your life, whether you know them or you not, and it does matter to you. And that the movie Dead Poets Society introduced me, and I read a lot.
Mm-hmm.
If you read a lot, you wouldn't think you'd use the word a lot. But I, as Ms. Disker used to tell us, a lot is something they put a house on. but I read a great deal, usually every day. And a lot of that love for reading come from the movie Dead Poets Society. And I read Leaves of Grass and Walden, got turned on to Dylan Thomas.
Did you go see that with us?
I don't know.
Carrie, Rusty, there was like a group of us that went. Can we just say you were there? We saw it together. At some point in our lives.
If it ties up history.
No, I'm just saying, at some point in our lives, I'm 100% positive we watched that movie
together. Oh, I'm sure that we did. Yeah, because it was a popular movie among guys our age.
It was awesome.
It touched that. Anything that when you're about that age anyway, and then it's about kind of becoming a man, you're drawn to that stuff. Good Will Hunting.
And I still...
Great movie.
I think his name's Kurt Wood Smith, father.
Yeah.
I still don't like that guy.
Because of that?
Because of Dead Poets.
Yeah.
I'll be honest. I never watched that 70s show just because of that guy.
Oh, he was great on there, man.
Well, I never watched it because I was still mad about Neil.
Neil, yeah.
From Dead Poets.
Poor old Neil.
Well, Mr. Keating, of course, the captain. Thank you, boy. That's the guy you want to hit with a racket.
That's right. He needs a racket shot to the head. And I'll also throw this little quick thing. When I was real young, you know, you have that relationship with your dad. If you had got a dad like mine where he kind of cracks the whip when you're growing up because he mm-hmm. wants you to grow up right.
Right.
But I can remember watching Mork and Mindy, and it wasn't the Robin Williams as much as it was Jonathan Williams who was on there, and my dad just thought he was hilarious.
Yeah.
And we would watch Mork and Mindy together.
Yeah.
And, you know, so there's a few guys, a few funny men that mm-hmm. we kind of bonded over. And I would say Robin Williams has been one of those guys that my father and I bonded over a mutual love and admiration for. And he brought us a little bit closer together, I think.
Yeah. The movie that, other than Dead Poets Society, off the top of my head, that I must have watched, I think Rusty Teasley and I saw it together in high school, was The Fisher King.
Yeah.
And I don't know what it was about my mental state during high school. There was probably a week where I watched that movie every day.
Hmm.
There's just something, I can't describe it about that movie. I really can't. But I'm glad you're giving me, I'm glad for this opportunity because I was going to make a video, but I could feel like I could share this here. This is a safe place to share it, but like for me, and I don't know if you're like this, Mark. For me, Robin Williams was a different kind of comedian because so much of his stuff was just improvisation. He didn't go up there with, he knew a few things he was going to talk about. It was just totally off the cuff. And so much of my life and my personality was based on that. So much of my, I hear stories about, I don't know if you saw the tweets Norm MacDonald put out about his inner, like that's the kind of person I try to be. I try to just be that. You know, I do stupid stuff sometimes. I do funny voices, and sometimes it doesn't, you know, with my kids and with different people, just trying to bring some joy to the world. And a lot of that was because I saw how Robin Williams was, and there was a little bit of that in me. And so his death, his passing, especially in the way that he passed, especially the things that he, I think it's pretty obvious. We know about his depression. We know about his addiction. I think it's pretty obvious Robin Williams suffered from ADD. Well, those are three things that I've dealt with in my life. And so, you know, over the past 5 days now, he's really hit me hard. Not because it was Robin Williams, because man, that's the comic I grew up on. I mean, that's the guy, when I thought about the funny I wanted to be in life, it wasn't Seinfeld. I love Seinfeld, but I couldn't be that kind of comedian. I was the Robin Williams guy, or tried to be, not nearly as funny. Robin Williams without the talent, that would be me. But yeah, it just hit me hard. And like you said, Dead Poets Society, Good Morning Vietnam. I don't know if you know this. Here's a tidbit. I read this week. This is not new with me. The script for Aladdin could not get nominated for best adapted or original screenplay for the Oscars because he improvised so much.
Really?
That he did all his recording by the script, and he said, "Hey, can I try this? Can I throw this in?" And they said, "Sure." And he just got on a roll, and it was like 18 hours later, he had recorded the genie. Not by the script, but just his stuff. And that's what came of the movie. And they said, well, most of your stuff from the movie is not in your script, so your script can't be nominated for it. But I didn't know that.
I didn't know that either. You know, it's just as an, because you said this is the comedian that I, for me, if you had to guess, I'm just curious who you would think the comedians are that I would say if I tried to emulate the things that I say. Bone.
Huh. That's a good question. I don't,
It's not Andrew Dice Clay.
That's what I was thinking. Maybe Kennison? I don't know.
No. Well, Kennison a little bit, but Richard Pryor and George Carlin.
Gotcha. Oh, would, Carlin. Yeah,
you know,
yeah, yeah.
Carlin kind of saying the point blank.
Yeah.
You know, this is it, and I'm just going to boil it down and say what.
Yes.
If I'm going to drive the point home.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
leave
yeah.
no doubt. And then Pryor, because he had this ability to take, if you listen to his stories, every story he told was sad.
Yeah.
But you'd be laughing.
Yeah.
He
yeah.
really had the ability, that whole, you know, tragedy plus time equals comedy.
Yeah.
And with Richard Pryor, I just thought he did that better than anybody. He'd
right.
tell you a story about being at his mother's funeral.
Yeah.
And his father saying, let's hurry up and get her in the dirt because it's cold.
Yeah.
And that's not fun.
No, no.
But when he said it, it was.
Right. And it's like if somebody, the person that's in that situation, if they laugh at it, then it's okay.
It makes it okay for you to laugh.
You get permission to laugh.
So I got the question
okay.
on Twitter.
All right.
Based on your Facebook post about the fact that I read Leaves of Grass and Walden and things like that because of that movie, based on your Robin Williams comments,
yeah.
can we expect a Literature You Grew Up On episode of the Double Dropkick Show? Very simply, no.
No.
You cannot expect that show.
Nah, that's a pretty good answer.
Because well, it would not be... I didn't start reading real books. No, actually, that just came to me. I hadn't even thought about that when I was going to say that.
Now, we could do an episode on comic books.
We could do an episode on comic books, but...
That's the literature I grew up on.
Okay, well, my literature was a little grungier.
Yeah.
So, no, you cannot expect that episode of the Double Dropkick Show.
This letter from Jim in San Diego.
Another question. Is it possible that Mark discussed movies and Matthew McConaughey in the same episode and failed to mention Dazed and Confused?
That is true.
That is absolutely what happened. One of my favorite movies of all time, Dazed and Confused. And I love Matthew McConaughey. He made that movie.
Yeah.
And I just won't end that. I guess because we were discussing True Detective.
Yeah.
It just didn't pop into my mind to discuss Dazed and Confused.
Confession. I've only seen that movie in the last 12 months.
Really?
I'd never seen it before.
I saw it.
And it wasn't what I expected.
Yeah.
It was, I would compare it to when I finally watched American Graffiti. It wasn't what I expected.
Mm-hmm.
And I really didn't like American Graffiti, if I'm being honest.
Right.
I didn't get it. If I watched it today, I would probably, oh, yeah.
Yes.
Just me being honest, I probably need to watch Dazed and Confused again. It wasn't them, it was me.
I'm going to tell you why I like Dazed and Confused so much. Is because, not in high school.
Right.
In high school, I was not like that.
Right.
But in college, I was.
Right.
And I had a group of friends that was just like those.
Really?
Yes. My buddy had a Corvette, and we drove around in that souped-up Corvette. And we'd stay up all night partying and go sit at a Denny's and eat, and everybody's just sitting there with their heads down. I mean, I did. That was just the kind of way I lived for a couple of years.
Yeah.
And that's probably why I didn't graduate from college. That's why. There's no probably about it. That's why.
Yeah.
And I'm not necessarily proud of that. I tell it because it's a funny joke now.
Right.
I wish that I had taken my studies more seriously.
Yes.
Because there's no telling what I could have done if I had.
Right. You turned out pretty well.
Oh, yeah, I do okay now. Don't get me wrong. I do all
right. Right.
But, I mean, I could have gone a lot further if I had not tried to emulate movies like Dazed and Confused when I was in college. But anyway, love that movie. Loved Matthew McConaughey. We quote it around the house all the time. You'd be a whole lot cooler if you did. My wife and I say that all the time. That's what I like about these high school girls, man. I keep getting older. They just stay the same age. I'm going to wind up on some kind of watch list. I was quoting Matthew McConaughey in Dazed and Confused I said that.
I'm going to edit that part out probably, where you say you quoted. Oh, and if I'm not mistaken, both those questions were from Carrie.
They were, yeah. They were kind of, yeah, it was tongue in cheek from Carrie.
Hey, and today, you know, shout out to Carrie. He starts a new job today. In his own words, smaller firm, bigger opportunity. I saw it commented on Facebook, as long as Hal Hopebrooks and Wilford Brimley aren't part of the firm, you'll be all right.
That's right. Yeah, that's congratulations, man.
That's a great movie, The Firm.
I never saw it.
Really?
I've never seen it. Don't ask me why.
No, it's okay.
I've never seen it.
Really?
No. Occasionally, I bring something up that you've never seen. And that's,
yeah, but this is Tom Cruise. Okay, never mind. Next question.
All right.
I don't want to dig a hole that I can't get out of.
Okay. We've said we were going to talk about this.
Okay.
On a previous show. And we haven't got around to talking about it yet. We did our Mount Rushmore of wrestling. And we didn't give Mick Foley the proper respect that Scott Hicks felt like we should have.
Right.
And he wrote us a pretty lengthy chastisement for it.
Yes.
And I appreciated that.
Right.
Because I think we needed that. It was good. Everything he said, he made a lot of good points about Mick Foley and why we didn't put him on the Mount Rushmore.
Right.
Why do you think that we didn't discuss? Because he's right. A lot of our commentary was, well, except for what he did with Foley, he really didn't do anything else. We said that about a couple of guys. And when you consider that Tony Schiavone announces on Nitro that he's going to win the title, and 600,000 people
right.
changed the channel to watch him win the title, already knowing what's going to happen.
Right.
That's a big deal. And it kind of turned the tides in the Monday Night War.
I agree with you. Having gone back, and thanks to the WWE Network that everyone needs to buy, and I don't know if you know this, Mark, it's $9.99 a month.
Yeah, apparently so. They're going to wear that into the ground.
Do you know that they have an app,
too? They do. Now, a few years ago, they wanted you to tweet them. They right. wanted you to tweet about every little thing. But what I've discovered recently is they only want you to tweet them if you like what's going on.
Oh, right.
That if you tweet your displeasure, they'll make fun of you.
Really?
On the air for it, yeah.
Oh, my.
Yeah, I don't know if you realize that or not. But so tweet them if you like what they're doing.
Right.
They want to hear that. They're not interested in hearing your feedback if you don't like what they're doing.
Right, right.
Because they know better than you what you like.
Right. Yes, of course.
Anyway, Mick Foley.
All right, so I've gone back, and I guess because it was in my... And I need to come up with a name for the years I didn't watch wrestling. Let's call it the dark years, personally and professionally. The dark years. That's when he was doing his stuff in WCW. I missed out on that, but I've been able to go back and watch some of it, and even Sting in his recent interview with Jim Ross talked about some of his stuff with Mick Foley, which was amazing. Missed the stuff with him and Vader. Missed the stuff in ECW. Again, I have gone back and I'm re-educating myself. Do I think he belongs on that Mount Rushmore? I'll say no. I still say no. But I do think he should have been. I still think in the time we threw out Lex Luger...
Yeah, we should have talked about
that. We should have talked about Mick Foley.
Here's why I think we forgot Mick Foley.
Okay.
Because he realized that he couldn't keep taking those crazy bumps. His whole deal was, let's remove the loopholes from what I do.
Yeah.
You know, if somebody, and he talks about it, if somebody hits me with a chair shot, I want them to hit me with a chair shot because I don't have the best physique.
Yeah.
I don't look like the average wrestler of the day. I need to do something to separate myself. And his thing was removing any loophole from anybody saying, I don't know about those other guys, but that was real.
Yeah.
When he fell off of that or
yeah.
flat onto his back.
Yeah, yeah.
He
just took some crazy
bumps. He did some unnecessary crazy yeah. bumps, and it's affected him.
Yeah.
And he's very open and candid about yeah. He says he's got certain phrases that he repeats to himself every day just to make sure he's not forgetting them.
Oh, wow.
I didn't know if you knew that or not.
I didn't know that.
He told all... I forget the term that he repeats every day, but it's the Concussion Institute that Christopher Nowinski founded.
Yeah.
He repeats the name of that to himself to make... Because it's a long, complicated name. And he
right.
says he knows as long as he can say that he's all right.
Wow.
Because he took some crazy bumps. But he realized he couldn't do that forever, and he became the comedy character.
Right.
The commissioner, and he shaved his head, and now he does all the Santa Claus stuff, and I always call him Saint Mick.
Yeah.
You know, that's what, you know, that's yeah. kind of the term for him, Saint Mick now.
Yeah.
And he has done a lot to separate himself from the hardcore
yeah.
stuff that he did, because he doesn't want other people emulating that
right.
and having the same kind of issues he's had later on in life. And I really think that's why he didn't come to mind. Because he has gone so out of his way to make you forget that Cactus Jack existed and make you realize that Mick Foley is a real guy.
Right, right.
That is suffering from some serious issues from the things that Cactus Jack did.
But,
and I think that's why I didn't think of him. Because I don't think of him as Cactus Jack anymore.
I think of
who
him.
Was one of my all-time favorites.
Right.
I think of him as Mick Foley, Saint Mick.
Yeah, yeah. Well, another thing, too, is... He never was, pardon me for using this, the face of the company.
No.
Even when he was the champion, he had three title reigns that totaled about a month, which a lot of guys did that. A lot of guys, if you go back to even the NWA days, a lot of guys did that. But yeah. to me, to be on that Mount Rushmore, you had to carry a company or at least be the two ox in the whatever right. that's called. what's that thing called? The yoke. Yeah, you had to be that other guy. Like with Piper. I think that was Hogan and Piper.
Yes.
But I don't know that Mick Foley was ever the one or two guys. He may have been one of the three or four guys at point in the Attitude era.
Right.
That carried that. But I think...
Well, I think he made Triple H.
Yes.
And I think there's some... On Triple H's part, there's that little thing in the back of his mind that the non-muscle guy.
Right.
The non-traditional wrestler-looking guy is the one that made him.
Right.
I think he would rather have it, rather had it been Austin or Rock or somebody, but it wasn't. It was Foley.
Because, I agree with you. I think that's a true statement.
All right. Moving on.
Yes.
Is Randy Orton overrated?
Now, who sent in that question?
I don't know. I mean, I didn't write
it. You wrote him down?
Man, come on. I wrote all this out by hand. I don't remember who wrote it. But it was one of the guys that I mentioned at the beginning of the
thing. Is Randy Orton overrated?
Justin Donahoe.
I didn't know he was rated.
There you go. I mean, I agree. I've said this about Orton. He shows signs of greatness when he's motivated. He's an awful. If I'm rating 0 to 10 on look, he's an 8.5.
Yeah.
9.
Yeah.
On his look.
Yeah.
In ring, when he's motivated, he can go, man. He can have good matches, but he relies too much. I've said this I posted just on something a couple of weeks ago. I was using the DDT before it was a useless Orton 2 count.
Yeah.
He has got a huge move with that DDT where he drapes him over the, and it's just, it's just another move.
People make fun of John Cena, the 5 moves of doom. But what's the difference between Randy Orton's got that, which I'll admit is a really cool move, the backbreaker where he grabs the guy's neck.
Yeah.
That's a cool move.
Yeah.
He's got that DDT. He's got the RKO. He may just have 3 moves of doom. What's the other move he does? Got a pretty good drop.
The punt,
but that's not really part of every
much anymore. Yeah.
But like to me,
The signature moves everybody's got. We've talked about that before. Right. You're supposed to have signature moves. I don't like his.
Yeah.
I think all of his are finishers. That's the thing.
Yes.
None of them are like setup moves.
Right.
They're so devastating that every one of them should be a finisher.
And like at what point? In his career, Randy Orton's going in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Like it or not. The guys, how many times has he been a champion? Over 10, at least 10, 10, 11.
Too many times, in my opinion.
Yes, I totally agree with you. Here's the thing. At what point in time did him become when he became the champion, whether it was the WWE title or the... Okay, give you a perfect example. The period between SummerSlam 2013 and WrestleMania,
mm-hmm.
when he was the champion, everybody was pooping on the product.
Yeah.
And he was the guy. He was the face of the company, or supposed to be the face of the company. He was the champion. And that, to me, is it. In his run, his 10-year run...
What's he done?
He has never... He's no John Cena.
No.
He's no John Cena.
No.
John Cena's done it all. I mean,
John Cena, at least with the 5, and I'm kind of getting, I've worn out on Cena, I'll be honest
with
you. And I have been. I think he's a good guy, and I think he's got a real passion for things.
Yeah.
But man, sometimes you do need to take a break.
Yeah.
And let people kind of forget about you
and
then come back big, and he just never seems to do that.
Yeah. Even when he had the real serious neck injury. Because he's a genetic freak, he came back so early, he came back at the Royal Rumble, probably about 2 months too early.
Yeah.
But it's like, if you're hurt, even now, that's the situation with Daniel Bryan, he's hurt. Well, Royal Rumble. We'll bring you back
to Royal Rumble. Back Royal Rumble.
Like, to me, do a Royal Rumble where nobody comes back.
Yes.
Like,
that would be
shocking.
Yeah.
Don't give me the JBL.
I would do it Royal Rumble this year what they should have done last year and have everybody thinking Bryan was coming back at the Royal Rumble and then bring Brad News Barrett back at the Royal Rumble instead.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Yes. That'd be great.
Keep Barrett off of TV.
Yeah.
Have him come out at number 30 when everybody thinks it's going to be
And
crying.
I think that would be a pop.
Yes,
I
it would.
I think he would get, I mean, he's.
It would either take him to the stratosphere as a baby face or the stratosphere as a heel.
Yeah.
Either one.
Yeah.
And then you run with it.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Imagine
yeah.
that this year.
Like, I would have no problem. I would have no problem with this. Okay. We're totally off the subject.
We need to stop saying when we're off the subject and just go with it.
Well, here's the thing. To answer your question, you asked a question about Randy Orton, and we're not talking about Randy Orton. There you go.
Perfect. That is Randy Orton overrated? You just summed it up. I asked a question about Randy Orton. We're talking about Bad News Bears.
Would you have a problem with, and we're going, spoiler alert, we're recording this on Saturday. We know the ending of Sunday already. Brock's going over. Brock's winning the belt at SummerSlam, I believe. Unless they do a swerve, which would be great.
You know, typically in August, they do a huge angle. They do something big almost every August.
But I say that, we talked about coming back. I would love Barrett to come back at the Royal Rumble. I would have no problem if he's healthy the night after SummerSlam, night after WrestleMania, that you've had Roman Reigns have his ascension and he beats Brock Lesnar. I'd have no problem. We might differ on this. I'd have no problem with Daniel Bryan coming back the night after WrestleMania and saying to Roman Reigns, "I never lost that belt."
Oh, that'd be great.
I never lost that belt. I think that's an intriguing matchup.
I do too. We haven't seen it before.
Haven't seen those guys in singles competition. I think they could put on some phenomenal matches.
Oh yeah, that'd be great. That's a really good idea. They won't do it because it's a good
idea. The next shareholders meeting,
I think a lot of that's got to do with the fact that they don't have wrestling people running their wrestling ideas anymore. They got people that want to go right somewhere else.
I wish they would get rid of that.
I do too.
And just say, we got
Arn Anderson and Dean Malenko and Michael Hayes, right? And we got all these guys back here.
And just put a show together.
Yeah.
All those guys studied under the best. Point of reference, I just want to say this, that Mark Whitman just put Dean Malenko over.
Never said I didn't like Dean Malenko.
Hey, I know, I'm just saying.
Never have I ever said I don't like Dean Malenko.
You've never spoke of him in such glowing terms.
You're
as
right.
You just said.
You're right, I haven't.
And his brother looks just like him.
Well, except he's bald now.
Bald, yeah.
I thought, because when they announced him, I was like, check him out. He looks just like Dean Malenko.
The man of a thousand.
And then he was bald, and I said, oh, never mind. Not anymore.
So to answer the question, Randy Orton, who?
Okay.
I hear voices. I hate that song.
To answer the question, how did you feel about them cutting Mr. T off at the Hall of Fame?
Okay. Here's what I'll say about that. I was watching that live. Went to bed.
There you go.
In the before they cut off Mr. T's speech,
uh-huh.
I was watching it live. I went to bed. Number one, because it was Saturday night, it was getting late. I have no problem with anything Mr. T said. No, not a problem. But I think Mr. T needs to listen to our episode, How to Act at a Wrestling Convention. Because you've got to understand, this isn't about you, but it's not about you.
Right. You're a celebrity, and you're going in the celebrity wing, and traditionally they come up. He should have said, I want to thank Vince McMahon for the opportunity.
Right.
Hulk Hogan for helping me out and getting me.
Yeah.
And even me and Roddy Piper have had our problem. Right. Maybe even not. He didn't have to thank him.
Right.
But he could have took a dig at Piper,
yeah,
and everybody would have thought it was funny. Because I don't know if the heat between the two of them is legitimate or not. Piper's that good.
Right.
Said something about Orton, Snuka, whatever.
Right.
And thank you to the fans for blah, blah, blah. And
yeah.
Sit down. Because that's what every other celebrity is supposed to
right.
be.
And I just think
he went too long and they were right in cutting him off.
Yeah.
Because you had bigger names.
Yeah.
That really did have more of an impact on the wrestling business and matter more in the history of wrestling.
To me, it was the equivalent of the guy winning best musical score at the Oscars, talking for 10 minutes, and then then best director,
right, and then James Cameron has to wrap it up early.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. That's a good way to put it.
Again, I don't have any problem with what he said.
No, and I tell you when he should have ended was, even on Father's Day, I love my mother, because he killed it. That line was great. Everybody thought it was great. The wrestlers thought it was good. The crowd, he should have said, thank you, good night.
Yeah.
Always leave them at work a lot of times. They'll say, if I make a really good joke, yeah, and we're sitting outside and everybody laughs, I say, all right, I got to get back to work. And I get
leave
up and
them
go,
hanging.
Because they always are thinking, Pat Mark's a funny guy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because if I stay there 3 minutes longer, I'll say something stupid.
Yes. You know? And I never learned that lesson. I always stay too long. But the fact is, I think they did the right thing. It's their product. And I thought the way they did it with Kane, it was almost like if it was scripted.
It was. I thought at first, okay, this is part of the show. And he went, well, I guess my time's up. They didn't put the big red monster out here.
And then Kane, and you could tell Kane was uncomfortable.
Yeah, yeah, he didn't want to be doing it. He was like, yeah, it's time to go.
Yeah.
Has social media helped or hurt professional wrestling?
I don't think it's hurt professional wrestling. I think it's awesome that you could tweet your heroes.
Mm-hmm.
You can send them a tweet, even if it's just a quick reply back, or even if it's a retweet from Roddy Piper.
Right.
I think that's awesome.
I do too.
I don't think social media has hurt wrestling. I think the fact that everybody knows everything.
Maybe that's what it is.
It's killed wrestling.
Right. Yeah. It's not the fact that you can tweet these guys. It's that you tweet somebody when you think you know what you're talking about, but you don't know what you're talking about.
Right. It's kind of like,
I was like, when we were at the Fan Fest, when I discussed wrestling with those guys, I never used insider terms.
Right. Right. Because
they find that disrespectful.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
It goes, what I do, where I work at, you might think you know something
right
about how to do it, but you've right never...
I've never made a tire.
You never made a tire. You don't know. You know what I mean? I'm not a preacher. I don't
right
need to tell you how to run a church.
Right.
Because I don't know.
Right.
I may know a little bit about it.
Right.
You may know a little bit about
right
what I...
Right.
But I don't know enough to be telling somebody who actually does it for a living and has made money at it.
Right. Yeah. Let me ask you this, because this has been bothering me this week, and a lot of it was because of the stuff with Robin Williams, stuff I read on Facebook and Twitter. I think the problem with social media is not only has it made us all want to be a know-it-all, it has made it possible for us all to be a know-it-all.
Right. Right.
I think it's okay to be well-versed.
Right.
I think it's okay, whatever situation it is, I think it's good to know a little bit about a lot of things. I think it's fine. If Jim Cornette wants to talk about the weather, boom, you talk about the weather. I think if somebody wants to talk football, you ain't got to know,
right,
how a tight end runs its route or how a guy blocks, but you know the score.
But you know who Brett Favre is.
Right.
I don't know. I just...
Brett Favre. But yes, same thing with baseball, same thing with politics. I don't know everything about... I know what's going on in the world right now. I know, Christians are being persecuted. I know about stuff at the bar. I don't know everything about it. I don't know every minute detail. I don't know... But I know enough just to, in passing with somebody, say, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I feel like social media has... Not only, like I said, because I have wanted to be a know-it-all.
Well, I am a know-it-all.
Well, but where, what do you mean? But like where, not only can I carry on that conversation, but I can prove you wrong on any topic.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Like if you come to
that's the definition of know-it-all?
I don't know what the definition
is. I'll tell you what the definition is. I told somebody this and you're laughing.
You would know it.
You remember, because I would know it. A know-it-all is somebody that knows everything.
Right.
Except how annoying they are.
Oh, yes. Yes, yes, yes. And that is definitely... because one of my friends posted on Facebook the other day, it said, insert celebrity, insert current event, go to read my blog post on this, you know? And that's what everybody's doing. It's like, everybody, what's the hot topic? Well, I'm going to write a blog post on this, and then everybody's going to know what I think about it.
Right. Like, when Robin Williams, he commits suicide because of depression, all of a sudden... There were all these experts on depression popping up.
Right.
That I ain't really ever seen you do anything but post pictures of what you were eating and your kids playing in the swimming pool. I'm just going to call it like it is. And if that makes you mad because you on my friend's list, or I'm just the way it is, you ain't no depression expert.
No.
Unless you... Listen, we all have ups and downs in our life.
Yes.
We all deal with depression on some level.
Yes.
We are talking... Somebody who deals with depression occasionally is completely different from somebody who gets so hopeless that they kill themselves.
Yeah.
Those are two different things.
Yeah. Yeah. What you just said, I think that same thing applies to wrestling. That I don't read about it. I don't really know about it. But did you know that Brock changed the finish at WrestleMania 30? Like, that to me is
what... I heard a conversation the other day.
All right.
I'm not going to call the group out or anything like that.
I want you to, Mark.
No, I'm not going to, because we're members of the group. But
okay. it's not our group.
It's not our group. Somebody said, who was the first person to use the term jabroni?
Yeah.
I think it was The Rock.
Oh, goodness.
Somebody else replied, no, jabroni means jobber. Guys like Seth Rollins and he rattled off this list of five or six guys in WWE and said they were jabronis and they were jobbers. Well, first of all, there's a difference between a jobber and a jabroni.
Yes.
I'm not going to tell you the difference.
Right.
Because... if you're so smart,
you should know it.
You should know what the difference
is. All right.
Okay. And I almost responded, first of all, Seth Rollins is not a jobber.
Yeah.
There's a difference between getting beat and being a jobber. There's a difference between doing the job and getting jobbed out.
Yes.
There's a difference between a jabroni and a curtain jerker.
Yes.
Okay. There are different levels of hierarchy in the wrestling business.
Yes, 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 yes.
Jabroni is a hierarchy term.
Yes.
And it did not just... It's an old carny term.
Yes.
And it's based on an Italian word that means butthole. All right, I cleaned that up because this is the family-friendly version.
Really?
Okay.
You are a know-it-all. For real. Like, that's awesome. I had no idea. So who was the first person to use it?
It's not like somebody just started using it.
It's a real word.
It's a real word.
It's not like...
It was introduced 100 years ago in the... However, you know,
really?
It's been around for years.
And they just use it as the guy they didn't like.
It's a term basically, and I'm not going to tell you exactly what the term means, because
you tell me when we're
done. I'll tell you off the air, but I'm not telling everybody what it means
because they don't need to know.
Because another thing about know-it-alls is we like to keep a little bit of information for ourselves.
Well, I'm not a very good know-it-all because I'm a boy.
A jabroni is not a job guy.
No, I did. I
know you would. The terms are interchangeable. A lot of times you'll hear that he's a jabroni.
Yeah.
He was a jabroni or whatever. And they are. This is why when you think you understand wrestling terminology.
You don't.
You don't. Because the different words have different meanings based on when you're using them. Heat. People talk about heat. There's 150 different kinds of heat.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
It's not like, here's what heat means.
Right.
It means different things based on the situation that you're talking about.
Yeah.
And it's the same with terms like jabroni.
Yeah.
Mean different things based on when you're talking about it. A guy that's been in the business 30 years, everybody's a jabroni. Let me just tell you that. Now, let's move on.
Everybody, so, okay. So to answer the question, it depends on how you use social media of whether or not it's good or bad.
Exactly.
It can be a good thing. It's like the internet. The internet can be a great tool for humanity. It can also be a bad thing for humanity.
Isn't it in everything like that? Most things.
Ice cream sandwiches are always good.
But not if you eat 30 of them.
I don't know anybody. I don't know anybody in their right mind that would do such a thing. Next question.
Would Seth Rollins be a star today if CM Punk hadn't left? And I asked that question because you and I had a conversation one time where you laid out for me the situation that they're in now. The situation that led Punk to leave really is a situation that he kickstarted.
Yes.
And then he leaves and they're able to keep moving without right. him and not hardly miss a beat. Yeah. And he's responsible for that.
Yes. In my opinion, Seth Rollins is there and in the position he's in because of the pipe bomb. I'm doing air quotations. I think that moment things started changing. I also think Triple H, except in the case of Sin Cara and other people, has a pretty good eye for wrestlers.
Right. Nobody's going to bat 1,000.
Right. Like CM Punk started changing that. We're going from the cartoony character to this guy can work. Seth Rollins, Tyler Black, whatever you want to call him, that guy can work. That guy can move.
He may be the, I'll say it, he may be the best salesman since Ricky Morton.
I would not be surprised.
If 20 years from now they're not saying he's going to go out there and play Seth Rollins.
He's going to sell like Seth Rollins.
Yeah.
That's no disrespect to Ricky.
No.
I'm just telling you, how many times, I cannot count on one hand, it would take both hands, perhaps a foot, the number of times Seth Rollins has taken a bump on TV and I thought, that guy's hurt.
Yeah.
That guy's dead.
He's so good at it that they used it to get him out of a situation so they could have a two-on-two thing going in the ring.
Uh-huh.
When they did that, they even threw up the old, everybody knows the X sign now.
Yeah.
Where somebody's hurt for real.
Right.
They even did that with him.
Really?
A few weeks ago.
Huh.
Just because they needed him to be out of the ring for a few minutes so they could do what they were doing. And he feigned an injury. And he was so good at it that everybody bought it.
Yeah. I mean, there was one time, and this is back when the Shield was wrestling 3 times on a Raw.
Yeah.
And like their first match, he did something to his foot. And I watched the replay 1,000 times. And his foot went the wrong way. But by that third match, and I know your adrenaline kicks in, and I was like, he ain't hurt. You know what, Mark? I think he was faking.
I don't think this pro wrestling business is on the up and up.
Right. I think Seth Rollins thinks I'm a jabroni.
So to answer that question, I think he would be a star.
Yeah.
With or without Punk. He would just, if Punk was there, he'd be somebody else that Punk could have good matches with.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Go ahead.
Had CM Punk stayed, I don't think there's anybody on the current roster that wouldn't be where they're at because CM Punk was in their spot.
No.
I think things have played out.
I think they played out exactly like they wanted them to, and that's why he left.
Right.
Because he probably saw the long-term thing and realized, okay, I had the longest title reign in 25 years. I'm not the champion anymore. I'm not getting my way. Somebody else is fixing to get their way.
Right.
I'm going to go on home.
Yeah. I'm going to go home and get married and have a good life.
Right. And kudos to him.
Yeah.
As critical as I've been.
Yeah.
If you save your money.
Yes.
And you get out while you're young and healthy and you're not doing anything to embarrass yourself.
Right.
What's wrong with that?
Go enjoy the Blackhawks.
Right. He gave up years and years of his life to earn that money.
Right.
And now he's got it, and he's got the free time. And I'm kudos
and flipped
to,
off all you smart marks on
that's
the
That's right.
Way out.
He did. He threw – and you're right. I got the network. What should I be watching? Well, we just did a two-part show about and everything that was on that show, as far as I know, is on the network.
Is the barbed wire match between Funk and Sabu on the network?
No, it's not. I didn't think about that. No, that one would not be. But it's on DVD. You can get
right.
That's a match you should seek out.
On your recommendation, I've gone back and from that, I've tried to watch the clashes and pay-per-views during that Funk Flair. Yeah. That whole thing.
Yeah.
And you got to watch that in chronological order.
You do.
And
it's worth watching in chronological order.
Would you say that pre-Nitro on the WCW side, you could go back and watch just clashes and pay-per-views and know what's going on? Like, because
yeah,
they used to
because
not.
Because they were still in that era of
squash matches.
Right. The WCW Saturday night stuff was just
terrible.
Right, it was. And it was to set up watching the clashes and buying the pay per views and going to the house shows.
And it's still amazing to me.
And WWF the clashes, was the same way at the time.
Right, the clashes, that those were free.
Yeah.
Those were great.
Yeah, they were good.
I mean, Jim Ross at his best. Some really good matches. Can I just say, I was watching one of them. I think it was a clash. Maybe it wasn't a clash. It might have been the Starrcade Future Shock where they did the tag team tournament. But yeah. The Road Warriors were wrestling the Samoa SWAT team.
Mm-hmm.
Love both of those teams. But it became a cluster fest.
Yeah.
And it was amazing to me to hear Jim Cornette on commentary. How he tried to cover up. It was probably 2 straight minutes of botches.
Right.
Even botching into the finish, where the finish wasn't botched, but it wasn't smooth, it wasn't very clean. But just to hear him, where me as a fan, as a 39-year-old fan, I'm watching it, and I'm like, ugh. Now, as a 19-year-old fan, I'm watching it, I'm like, golly, man, these guys are so evenly matched that they can't do anything.
Well, no, it would have been...
I don't know.
Was that 89? So it would have been like 13 or 14.
Oh, yeah, 13 or 14. We're like, oh, my goodness.
Yeah, you didn't notice stuff like that.
No.
I didn't. I never watched a match and went, you know, those guys' work rate was really good in that match. I mean, I knew at that age a good match from a bad match. Don't get me wrong.
Yes. To me, if it was 2 named guys,
right,
2 non-jobbers, that's a good match.
That's a good match. Because you didn't get big matches every week.
And that's what made going to Greenville on Monday nights. Why did I go to Greenville on Monday nights? Why did I pay my money to do that? Because I saw matches there that I never saw on TV.
Right.
I got to see matches there. There were maybe the first 2 matches were, as you would call them, popcorn matches. But after that, it was title matches. We've got these Mid-Atlantic DVDs. There ain't no popcorn matches on there.
No.
And those are not matches. They're on these tapes because they weren't on TV.
Right. I cannot wait to start watching those. And I'm going to do a little thing. We'll do something about them later. Tell everybody what they are and, you know.
Yeah. What was the question, Mark? What was the, would we watch on the network?
What should I be watching on the network? Also, Legends Roundtable.
Yeah,
that's a really good show. I enjoy. If you like listening to me and Heath talk about wrestling, you would definitely enjoy it because it's what it sounds like. It's a roundtable discussion among legends of wrestling talking about, they pick a topic and they talk about
it. Much like we do.
Yeah.
Much like us.
Right. But those guys, they're jabronis compared to me and Heath.
The show that I love, and it's because...
We job them out.
The show that I like because of the format of it is WrestleMania Rewind. The way that they have the guy, it's like you're watching an ESPN special. It's like you're watching a documentary on this great match, and you're also getting the behind the scenes look. And hey, if I'm not mistaken, the show that I will be watching starting, I think it starts Monday, is Monday Night War.
Does that start Monday?
It starts this month.
It should, because the 6 month thing is coming up.
Yeah.
So they need.
Are you re-upping? I'm re-upping
because
I'm a stockholder.
Yeah, probably just because it's only $9.99 a month. I probably will because I can watch. But if they're going to have to add some more content.
I'm still, like, you probably watched a heck of a lot more.
I'm trying to catch kids, just so everybody knows.
Dark period that I didn't watch wrestling, I'm trying to catch up on all that. There's a lot that I haven't.
I don't have kids, and I only work 6 months a year. So I do it for y'all so I can talk about it.
That's right. That's right.
Are any of my wrestling matches on the internet? Not to my knowledge.
Mine aren't either.
There was a guy that used to videotape the shows, and I would pay him a little money, and he compiled my matches onto a VHS.
What was the guy's name? Wasn't Michael Hayes, was it?
No.
Because I had a friend named Michael Hayes who used to do some video for the SCW guys.
No, now see, I wish I could get some of those matches.
He's probably got them.
If you can find out, I would love, because I had some good matches there.
Really?
With some guys at Jimmy Valiant, because I had been in the business about 3 years.
You're right.
At that point, and was having some...
Were the Boogaloo crew there when you were there?
I don't remember. I don't think so, but I had a couple of matches with a guy named Mike Cannon, who got a WWE developmental deal.
Really?
He never went anywhere with it, but he got the deal. He worked one of those fan fest things. So he and I had a couple of matches, and I did the cactus elbow on him from the ring apron onto the floor.
Yeah.
Because Pro Wrestling Illustrated was there that night.
Really?
And I was trying to get into Pro Wrestling Illustrated Top 500.
Oh, nice.
And they were there, and I got my name printed in Pro Wrestling Illustrated after they saw that.
Right.
Just in the arena report stuff.
Right, right.
But I did, and I had...
We need to send in an arena report for tonight.
We should. Yeah. I had tried to do the cactus elbow on the floor, and I would always wind up kind of landing awkwardly on my feet and then falling because I wouldn't commit to it because it is a hard bump to take. Yeah. So if you don't know what I'm talking about, you lay the opponent out on the floor, you climb up on the ring apron and jump from the ring apron onto the floor and drop an elbow. And that night, we were on a hardwood floor.
Yeah.
It was an old skating rink.
Yeah.
There were no pads, there were no mats, but they were there. And I said, "This, if I'm going to do it
tonight, for real,
tonight's the night I got to do it." And I asked him, "Do you mind if I do it?" And he said, "Go for it." I took him out to the ring, and I set him about 7 or 8 feet away from the ring
because
I wanted it to be
good.
And I ran and jumped and came down perfect and landed on my hip. Boom, and it sounded... You could hear it through the entire feel arena. I don't know. No. He went, oh. I think I took the wind out of it. that's, I'm way off topic there. But no, the matches are not that I know of on the internet. Yeah. And I don't even have any copies of them anymore. I lost my VHS copy of my match compilations.
Mm.
So I don't have them anymore. I wish I did because I'd love to. Just kind of have it to know that I did it. But if you know,
I'm gonna see. I'll see. I don't know if he did it during that.
'90s, you know.
Yeah, he might have been a little before. Well, I don't know. I'll talk to him.
Yeah. Anyway, that'd be cool if he did.
Yeah.
That's that. No, my matches don't exist.
We could watch your matches and then talk about them on the show.
that'd be awesome. You would see that I've been lying about how great I was. The last question to wrap this thing up the other day, and let me pull the question. Do a little banner with the people. Tell them about something while I pull the question up, because it's a long question and I didn't write it down.
Okay. Well, while you guys are listening to this, hey, we want you to make sure you check out all our old episodes, doubledropkick.com. We're getting ready to start a new segment starting on some of our upcoming episodes. We've kind of run out of old material after FanFest, but we're going to be recording some great new stuff for you, adding this new segment called, not going to tell you, you're going to have to listen. I don't want to give it all away. I ain't going to be J.J. Abrams leaking all my stuff.
That's right.
About Star Wars 7, which, by the way,
we got a little something coming up we think you'll like.
That's right, that's right.
For those of us who are always asking us, hey, what should I do here? What should I do there? Should I check this out? Should I check this out?
Yes.
We'll be answering some of
the stuff that's not on the network.
Right, stuff that you can't get on the network.
Yeah, stuff that you can't get on the network. I'm sitting here, and I've got Mark's Memphis Heat DVD. I've got the Jim Crockett Promotions, the Good Old Days DVD. I got his Ric Flair four hour shoot interview. Mark is the DVD man, and I'm trying to...
The DVD master.
Master. The master of the DVD, and I'm trying to get all that stuff put on to MP4 format.
Mark's trying Here's to, the thing. I'm trying to find the question that was yeah. asked. The problem is, it was my birthday the other day.
Oh, gotcha.
And a bunch of people wish me happy birthday, so I'm having trouble getting to
it. Is it the one that I'm thinking
it is? It is. It's the question about Ric Flair. So I'm okay. just going to... Michael Hofer, ask us a question.
Okay, and I'm going to go here.
If you can find it out, we're just stalling and people are going to tune out now.
No, that's okay. But, you do better not to. And see, it was Mike's anniversary this week.
Was it? Well, happy anniversary, Mike.
Yes.
Basically, it was about some things that Ric Flair has said. I don't know exactly what those things are that he's referring to.
Right.
But I know that he does occasionally say something a little bit out of bounds. And it's the fact that he still, at his age, is trying to live up to the Playboy gimmick that he's had for years. And I have trouble criticizing Ric Flair.
Yes.
I don't know Richard Flair.
Yes.
I know the Nature Boy Ric Flair from television. And I'm... such a big fan of his that it's hard for me to find fault, even when I know there are faults.
Okay, here's the quote and the question.
Okay, you got the actual question.
Mark Whitman, and this is from Mike Hofer. Mark Whitman and Heath Mulligan, what say you on this? I'm done listening to Ric Flair. Used to be one of my favorites, but his antics, bitterness, and all around holding on too long to something that everyone knows is a work, his Playboy lifestyle, has worn thin on him, and I lose more and more respect as I hear him speak on anything. And then he gives us a hashtag, double dropkick.
Appreciate that. Appreciate the question.
I agree with what you said. It's hard for me to criticize him. I think that Flair has not made a lot of friends these last 5 to 10 years because he was so adamant about living that Playboy lifestyle. It caught up with him.
Right. Well, he hasn't made a lot of friends outside of the wrestling business.
Right.
A lot of the guys who are in the wrestling business now see him like you and I see him.
Yeah.
The other guys who criticize him, a lot of times that criticism comes from the fact that Ric Flair was on top and they were not.
Right.
You can also find people that will criticize Triple H.
Yeah,
You'll find people that would criticize Dusty Rhodes.
Yeah.
You'll find people that would criticize anybody who was the main guy in a territory or a promotion. Vince McMahon, they're always looking to blame somebody for the fact that they weren't the next Ric Flair.
Right.
So, and in Ric Flair's case, they blame Ric Flair.
Right.
Because he wasn't the...
But I think a lot of the enemies he's made are people he's done business with.
Yes.
That are not people involved in the wrestling business.
Not the
they're not wrestlers.
The wrestling part. They're like us, guys outside at the high spots and guys like that.
Right, and I think that's part of it. Is he has put himself in a position where he's just
Well, here's the thing that Ric Flair. I've heard him say a lot. On that 4-hour shoot interview, or 8 hours, however long it is, there's only really one thing he said that bothered me.
Right.
As far as his opinions on other people, those are his opinions. And I don't tell anybody how they should feel about somebody, especially if it's two guys I don't know.
Right.
Because I don't know what transpired between the two of you.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of heat between him and Shane Douglas.
Right.
And Shane Douglas made a lot of derogatory comments about Ric Flair and Ric Flair's, but they were all based on the fact that Douglas went to Flair and when he first met him, he was enamored with him, just like anybody would have been. And he said, would you mind watching my matches and giving me a little feedback? And Flair said yes. And he said, and I slowly began to realize he wasn't watching my matches. And he said, right. So I started making stuff up. Uh-huh. Did you see me do this off the top rope? And Flair's like, yeah, that was great. Do it next time. And he said, and when I would do that, I knew he wasn't watching my matches.
Yeah.
And it bothered him. And then there, became some things. Well, anyway, he got to ECW and he started talking a lot about Ric Flair and promos and stuff. But a lot of it, depending on who you listen to. Mm-hmm. Okay, if you listen to Flair, this is all a lie.
Yeah.
If you listen to Douglas, this is what happened.
Right.
That he was having problems with WCW. Ric Flair was. And that they were trying to negotiate a three-match series for a lot of money for Ric Flair.
Right.
Over $100,000. Right. For a three-match series in ECW, right. Eastern Championship Wrestling, if things didn't work out.
Yeah.
And they wound up, he got his contract straightened out with them.
Right.
But that they, Douglas thought, we're building
right
to this, and they wanted to do a three-match series where one was in Charlotte, one was in Pittsburgh, and then they would have the blow-off in our big auditorium.
Wow.
And that is why Arn Anderson actually went to ECW the time that he did, was as kind of a feeler for Flair to see, is this, they said, you know, Bobby Eaton and Arn Anderson came in and did a little shot
there. Yeah, yeah.
And Douglas's side of the story is they were there to check it out.
Right.
To make sure that it was something Flair wanted to do and that, yeah, that he could trust those guys and right. this and that. The other, Flair says it's all a lie.
Yeah.
But the thing that he said that didn't offend me, but I just, when he said it, I just thought it was such a stupid comment.
Right.
When they asked him about Shane Douglas, he said, are you talking about the guy who works at Walmart now?
Right.
As if a man taking a job and feeding his family is below Ric Flair.
Right. Which there's probably been times he should have gotten a job at Walmart.
Well, here's a little aside to when he said it.
Yeah.
You hear him go back and say, I'm not saying anything bad about anybody that works for Walmart, but can you imagine having to work at Walmart after you've been a wrestler or yeah. something like that.
Yeah.
Okay. At the time he said it, he was working for Walmart
mm-hmm.
as they would open a store up, and it was Walmart and either Coke or Pepsi or somebody like that, and they would open the Walmart and say, come out this Saturday, we're opening the Walmart, get you some free Coke and meet Ric Flair.
Oh, really? So at the time he said that, he was working for Walmart.
not like as a greeter. I mean, he wasn't working for Walmart.
Can you imagine? Can you imagine?
No, but he was, and not just them. He was making a lot of purse. That's why he left WWE after yeah. the retirement match, because there was big money things like that on the table for him to do, and he couldn't do them because WWE wouldn't let him.
The North Carolina Lottery.
Right, the North Carolina Lottery. He was doing a lot of those type of personal appearance right. things, and they would open to Walmart and say, come on out Saturday, Walmart's open, to meet Ric Flair. So just when he said that,
yeah.
it bothered me that yeah. he would disrespect somebody that's doing what they have to do to feed their family.
Right.
And it wasn't like Shane Douglas was working the checkout aisle back in the
right.
You know, back in the electronics department.
Right.
You know, he wasn't stocking pork and beans.
And
at
it wasn't
in the morning.
Walmart. It was Target.
It was Target, it was, I think. It may have been Walmart. I don't know.
And there's nothing wrong with
that. No, there's yeah. nothing wrong with taking a job to feed your family.
Right.
So that always kind of bothered me, and it knocked him down. So that would be me telling the truth about how I feel about Ric Flair. Other than that, I don't know him.
Yeah.
I've never lent him money. So I can't talk to you about whether he'll pay you back or not.
I don't think there's such a thing as loaning him money.
You give him some money, understanding you ain't going to get it back.
You either give him money or you don't give him money.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. That's on you.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know? I mean,
right.
That's why I don't ever ask Heath for money. Because I probably wouldn't give it back to him, and then we wouldn't be friends no more.
And he knows that I don't have any to give. But, so, hey, this isn't the last time we're going to do something like this.
No, I would say here's the thing from now on. If you ask me a question, and I may or may not answer it.
Right.
Because, but I'm going to answer it.
Right, because we're going to do it
right,
on the show.
If I don't answer you, it's because we're going to answer you on the show.
Yeah.
Because I can't answer you in 144 characters sometimes.
Right, right. Yeah, and it's hard to say anything.
Especially us, because we will ramble.
We will go on and on and on. Because this is the Double Dropkick Show. Check us out at doubledropkick.com. Hey, you're going to see things on the website. There are things called banners. And there is only one thing to do with banner, and that is
click on it.
Click on that banner. Click on those banners. Click on all of them. We're going to be putting some new banners on there for some merchandise that we have purchased that we believe in, some good stuff. You can listen to us on Stitcher, What Radio. Just hit that download button.
Hey, when you go to iTunes and you download us, take a minute, give us a rating.
Yes.
You don't have to leave a comment if you don't want to.
Right.
But, man, if you could just give us a five-star rating.
Yeah. Give us a Meltzer.
Yeah, give us a Meltzer, a five-star review. We'd appreciate it because it helps us out and it lets us kind of know how many people are out there, you know.
Yes. Yes. So
if you could do that for us, we'd appreciate it.
Take you 2 seconds.
That's right.
5 seconds.
If you got service like mine, 25 seconds.
Anyway, hey, we hope you've enjoyed this show where we've answered your questions from the family and friends of the Double Dropkick Show. As always, I'm Heath Mulliken.
I'm not.
And I'm throwing to Bob Cottle.
And that's it this week, fans. So long for now.